You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the former editor of AllYouCanHeat.com and a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for the Step Back, FanRag Sports, and Miami Heat Tip-Off Magazine. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ermil, a credentialed NBA writer and cover the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DermIl13.
We're recapping the Heat's 90-89 win against the Celtics. We're going to take some of your Twitter comments that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and then we'll get to our spotlight players of the game. But first, today's show is sponsored by MyBookie, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a bonus on your first deposit. The Heat beat the Celtics 90-89. It didn't start off well for the Heat, who struggled shooting in the first two quarters. They trailed at halftime 44-36, but Eric Spoelstra goes to a zone for the entire third quarter, something that, according to Cooper Moorhead, the Heat hadn't done on consecutive possessions all season, and they outscore the Celtics 26-15 in the period. Spo then ditches the zone for the fourth quarter, but the Heat's defense just still maintains that quality throughout for most of the period. The Heat go up by 10 with 5 minutes left. And then Brad Stevens makes his move. He goes super small with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and Kyrie Irving as his five-man unit. Then with 2.5 minutes left, the Celtics go on an 8-0 run to cut the lead to 3. Irving hits a jumper with 27 seconds left to cut the score to 90-89. Josh Richardson misses his shot on the other end, and then Irving, with a decent mid-range look to win the game, misses the go-ahead shot, and the Heat escape with a much-needed win in Boston.
Yeah, obviously, the Celtics were the best record of the Eastern Conference. Miami going through a number of injuries that have depleted their roster, missing a number of their starters still, without Hassan Whiteside or Justice Winslow. Goran Dragic sits out the game again. And Miami finds a way to pull out the victory, but the key player for Miami tonight, none other than the ex-Celtic himself, Kelly Olynyk, much maligned since signing with Miami for a huge contract. We started to see some of the incredible potential that had captivated Celtics fans over the last 4 years of Olynyk's career. He was the star of the game by far, finished the night with 31 points on a night when just earlier today we had talked about in our last podcast how no Miami Heat player had scored over 30 points. Olynyk eclipses that mark. I'm sorry, with 32 points, 12 of 15 shooting, 6 of 8 from three-point range, finished with 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block, 4 turnovers as well, but just a great game from Olynyk, who seemed really, really inspired to show his former team what they were missing with his presence. It was just a commanding performance from him. He looked incredibly confident, the kind of performance reminiscent of his huge breakout in last year's playoffs when, refresh my memory, I think he scored 27 points in a key victory for Boston.
Yeah,
this was a season or career high, I think, for him as well. Just an incredible performance. He seemed so engaged, aggressive at just the right time, able to use his intelligence to bait Al Horford on a number of occasions in a key possession, a couple possessions there, consecutive possessions in the fourth quarter, was able to draw contact from Horford. On the first one was a little ticky-tack. Horford got called for the foul, started to protest it a little bit. And the next one, Olynyk just got tangled up, was able to use his length to tie up Horford, and Horford got called for the last foul of the night, ejecting him from the game, basically. But overall, just doing it from the outside, doing it from the inside, using his savvy, his ball handling skills to get Boston's bigs up in the air and finish at the rim. It was an incredible performance. What can I say? The best performance of the season, I think, for any Heat player.
I mean, you mentioned his inspired play, and there was a point in that fourth quarter where we didn't get just one, but we got 2 Kelly Olynyk fake triple handoffs for a dunk in one game. I mean, what a treat for us. And then on the second one, though, he ends up landing really hard on the floor, and it was the game winning basket, and it looked bad. Like, to me, I was like, oh no. We've seen that happen so many times.
Yeah, he went up and landed awkwardly on his right leg, And then he kind of crumpled to a heap on the floor, clutching at his right knee. It seemed like maybe he had landed on it, kind of hyperextended it a little bit. After finishing with a real powerful dunk, after Stevens had gone to that small lineup, Olynyk was able to take advantage of it and use his length to get to the rim. But then he kind of comes down and had to hobble back in a key possession for Miami on defense. Missed the whole play entirely, and then they had to cause a foul in order to get him back in the lineup. But he stayed in the game. You know, after the foul, he rushed to the sideline. I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, what a game. We might lose tonight, and then we might lose Olynyk in the process, and we're already so thin. But, you know, luckily he stayed in the game, and then afterwards he seemed like he was in really good spirits and fully aware.
It was the heroic moment of the season so far. I mean, that was the equivalent of the Waiters' three-pointer over Kevin Durant last year, you know?
Oh, yeah, good comparison. But, yeah, I mean, look, we had talked about it, you know, hopefully that we might get this kind of a performance from Dion, knowing that the backcourt was as thin as it is. But it came from Olynyk instead. And I think this is a kind of victory with everybody contributing, a number of role players stepping up tonight, you know, including Olynyk, not expected to carry the burden offensively, but yet he did so against his former team. This is the kind of win that kind of inspires other players when they come back and they're fully healthy to say, you know what, this is a team that can compete against the very best of the Eastern Conference. Keep in mind, this is the second time we beat Boston this season. Makes for an interesting 1-8 matchup or 2-7 matchup if Miami is able to claw their way into the playoffs. You know, obviously, regular season records don't mean much in the postseason, but it's a nice thing to have in their back pocket if they face Boston in the playoffs.
Before we go on to the coaching decisions there, I did want to also add on, you know, you mentioned Olynyk's, his playmaking from the perimeter. I tweeted this at the beginning of the game. The Celtics were doing a really good job of cutting off all of Miami's passing lanes. They were making it really, like, the Heat were missing a lot of shots in the first half, but Boston was making it very difficult for them. I mean, the Heat had a really hard time against their length on defense. They weren't able, I mean, the drive and kick was really their only offense, and without Goran Dragic, it was basically Dion Waiters' inconsistent ability to do that. And so I mentioned, like, look, if the Heat are going to have a chance in this game, it's going to come down to basically Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo using their height along the perimeter to get over that length and find some guys on some cuts and things like that. And sure enough, Olynyk stepped up. You know, I mean, 2 assists in the game doesn't really reflect how good of a job he did. I mean, he was touching the ball, especially there in the second half. It seems like every possession, every offensive possession, he had the ball in his hands at some point. If he wasn't directly responsible for an assist, he was responsible for moving that offense and creating that ball movement that got Miami all of its offense throughout the night.
23 assists for them on 33 made field goals, and then they finished 10 of 28 from downtown. That's not great, but 36% certainly an improvement over how they started off in the first quarter when they were struggling just to score any points whatsoever.
And then, of course, Eric Spoelstra going to the zone in the third quarter helped. That was something we hadn't seen before. I thought that was a great coaching decision. Brad Stevens then goes small midway through the fourth quarter. And so we would be remiss not to mention at least just how Kelly Olynyk was the star of the night. But that was such a great second storyline, just the coaching battle between Spo and Stevens. That was just a great second storyline. It was just one of the more fun games of the season. Obviously, we could sit here and say that after a win, but just a really entertaining game.
I was fully prepared that even had Miami lost, I would still be a lot more enthusiastic about the game than I was after losing to the Hawks the other night. This was the exact opposite of that. They found a way to not just stay engaged, but improve on their performance. They held off a really good team and were able to limit them from doing what they do best, force them to kind of play outside of their comfort zone. They don't normally go into such a small lineup, but they use it very effectively. And so, again, Miami just, you know, flipped the script a little bit, did something very differently than we'd seen in the past, and it worked out for them. But even if it hadn't resulted in a victory, still a really, really great performance from Spoelstra and from the roster.
We're going to get to your Twitter comments that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. But first, college bowl season is here, and it's time to get on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround? When you ask for a payout, sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. Look, if you bet on the Heat tonight, they were a 9-point underdog. They not only did they beat the spread, you would have won on the money line. MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin if you're interested in that. When you bet, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting on the bowl games or betting on basketball, you've got to use mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I'd recommend. I trust them, and you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all of the season NFL and bowl games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate that offer. So visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie using that promo code LOCKEDONNBA.
Why wouldn't our listeners trust us? I mean, we're as reliable as it gets.
I mean, other than the fact that nobody scores 30 points, then Kelly Olynyk does it. I mean, we're trustworthy. All right, let's take some of your Twitter questions. We'll have our spotlight players up next. But the first Twitter comment comes from Jeff. He tweets, "Where was this Kelly Olynyk 2 nights ago? Wow. How big is the growth from Josh Richardson as a ball handler for the last few weeks? It's starting to feel better. I'm starting to feel better about when we get healthy after the last two games," I guess he's saying, the last two games. Yeah. You just said it before we went into that read, that you were going to be happy either way, or at least enthusiastic either way about that game, just because of how well Miami looked. Look, they most of their players are out. Like, they're missing most of their starters. I was a little bit more optimistic after that Hawks loss than you were. I think everybody has reason to be optimistic now after this Boston win. I think you're absolutely right. That's a sort of that might be the Warriors win from last season that kind of, I don't want to jump the gun here, but kind of inspires something better from this team. They've been lacking this inspirational play that we saw from them from the second half of last season that we, I guess, were hoping would be the case this season. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe you have Goran Dragic and James Johnson and Winslow, you know, watching from the sideline, even though James Johnson is still in Miami, but watching, you know, not playing, and they look at this team and they're like, look, this is what we could be when the best players aren't even on the floor. Imagine what we could do when we're in this. Like, let's join in on that, you know? And Kelly Olynyk was absolutely awesome. He's not going to do this every night. This is kind of his MO throughout his career, is that he can do this, and then he can not do this. He can do the opposite of this and not have such a great game. But all in all, you know, with all these guys missing time, it has given an opportunity to Olynyk. It's given an opportunity for Josh Richardson to get on the floor and expand their responsibilities a little bit and experiment. And they've, particularly Olynyk and Josh Richardson and then Bam Adebayo, have thrived with this increased role.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about Jordan Mickey. We're not quite sure what kind of playing time he'll get when Hassan Whiteside and James Johnson and Justice Winslow come back. But he's certainly proven that he can play at this level. I mean, he had a really solid game. Not a great one, but had a couple big shots, finished with 8 points and 4 of 8 shooting. Wasn't connecting from outside range today, but he finished with 8 rebounds. His superior length, just really, really impressive. Finished with 2 assists, too. Again, these are kinds of things that we're not seeing from Whiteside, the passing ability out of the big position. Mm-hmm. Between Olynyk and Mickey, those are two passing bigs that can initiate offense as well as you know, create shots for themselves. So it's certainly great to have, you know, we talked about on a number of occasions how Miami's best asset as a team might be their depth. In case of an injury or an injury-riddled roster like this, the fact that they continue to develop guys, that guys are finding a way to step up at key moments and take advantage of these opportunities will only prove beneficial. There's no downside to this. You know, you either explore a trade later on if you want to, or keep the roster intact and see what you have on any given night. You can mix and match lineups. You know, it's going to be interesting on a night when we saw Spoelstra kind of change things up with his defensive schemes. I wonder if he'll be a little bit less rigid with his rotations once everybody's healthy again. You know, we've seen from him in the past that he can be a little too strict, a little too rigid at times. I wonder if now that he realizes he's got something going with Adebayo and Mickey, whether or not he'll pull the hook on Whiteside if and when he returns, if he's not, you know, if he's struggling with a shot or not necessarily impacting things in a positive way. So just great, great, great things to see there. As far as the Miami Heat schedule, though, I wanted to look ahead. We've got 4 home games coming up against Dallas, New Orleans,
Orlando,
and Brooklyn. Yeah. So 3 of those teams with losing records. Dallas is pretty bad, although they've had some good games lately. New Orleans is kind of struggling with their identity. I wonder if Anthony Davis will be healthy for this after we saw him get a slight injury scare in his last game. You know, they've got they're on the second night of a back-to-back too, so it should be an interesting matchup there. But I mean, Miami has a really, really good opportunity to build on this Boston win if and when they get players back during this four-game stretch. They'll only be a better team for it. And it's just I'm looking forward to seeing if they make any kind of headway.
Well, you mentioned Whiteside. I'm glad you did, because that leads into our next Twitter comment. David tweets in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Since Hassan Whiteside's been out, I see a much better tempo and attitude in the game. It's time to trade him. I don't want to open up the we already fired up the trade machine on the last podcast. I don't want to do it again. But just as far as Hassan Whiteside goes, and you talked about this a little bit, but if the Heat had had Whiteside in this game and in that first half, right, where they were, or in the second half too, where they were relying on Kelly Olynyk so much in this game to facilitate from the perimeter, and they were relying on guys like Jordan Mickey to set really good screens and roll hard to the rim to get easy baskets. With Whiteside in there, I feel like the default for this team a lot of times has been, okay, we're struggling offensively, let's throw it into the seven-footer and see if he could just post up. And that's been the answer, right? Or that's been the attempt when the Heat's offense has struggled. And not having Whiteside in there, who's such a dominating physical presence, not having him in there kind of forces them to get a little bit more creative. And I think that's what we saw in Boston. I would venture to say if Whiteside's playing in this game, I don't think that they win. I think that this is a blowout, given how poorly the Heat were playing offensively and how well Boston had them shut down defensively in that first half. I don't think that would have gotten better. I don't mean that necessarily as a slight to Whiteside, but it's just the style of play, like David mentions in his tweet here. The style of play, the tempo is a great. They play so with so much more off ball movement and so much more just passing, and it's a more beautiful version of basketball, but it's also a more effective version of basketball. We don't like the post ups. Whiteside is one of one of the most inefficient post up players in the league, and he has been for 3 years now. That's not changing, you know. And unfortunately, he does that for a big percentage of his possessions. He just posts up. And I think the Heat just in general have a bad habit of enabling that. And without him in there, it forces them to do these more creative, effective things. And like you mentioned earlier, if this team is substantially better, their on and off numbers are better, their net ratings are better, when Olynyk is on the floor and when Bam Adebayo is playing more and Jordan Mickey is playing more. And it might, like, Whiteside just might not be the best fit for this team the way he plays, regardless if he's traded or not. They need to make sure that they're getting more time and more five-man units that include Olynyk at center, and maybe along with Bam and James Johnson and Jordan Mickey, because that's been really effective so far.
He's such a challenge to deal with from a coaching perspective, and I feel like, you know, we've heard on a number of occasions from players throughout the league that the thing that they respond to best from coaches is just honesty. And, you know, on a night, again, not to beat the same horse, but, you know, for Spoelstra to make the changes that he did, you know, he's innovative at times. And we're reminded when we see a matchup like this against Brad Stevens, who's so highly regarded mm-hmm. by media and fans and everything else. You know, Spoelstra is a guy who can get the most out of players, but it's just so hard for him to work with Whiteside sometimes because Whiteside just doesn't seem to listen. So he has to be able to, this is from Spoelstra's perspective, he has to be able to connect with Whiteside and tell him, look, I have to use you more sparingly. Like, I have to cut into your minutes, and you have to be more effective while you're out there and play up to the tempo that we're playing at, because that's the best version of this team, and that's how we're going to continue to win. Like, he has room to make an impact. His skill set is so diverse. He can make an impact, particularly defensively, but offensively as a rim runner. If he were to set better screens, it would be a huge benefit for Miami's ball handlers. But
the Rockets play Clint Capela 25 minutes a game, and he's very effective in 25 minutes. And Clint Capela is a better screener and roller than Whiteside is. But Whiteside's and he's a good rim protector, but Whiteside's a better rim protector even.
Of course,
even still.
Yeah.
And I think if the Heat, I think you're right. Like, the Heat cut down on Whiteside typically will play between 31 and 33 minutes. If you cut that down by 7, 8, 9 minutes around and get him at that like 25 minute mark, that gives a lot more time for these other kind of units and these other bigs to get on the floor and be effective the way that they best can be effective. All right, let's look at our spotlight players of the game. First, quick reminder, make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show, and we really appreciate it. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, our spotlight players of the game. We are obviously going to leave out Kelly Olynyk because we've talked enough about him. So let's shine some light on some of these other guys who had a big contribution. David, who's your spotlight player of the game?
For me, it was Wayne Ellington. He was a guy who didn't have a huge night, finished with just 9 points, 3 of 11 shooting, 2 of 8 from three-point range. But those 2 three-pointers came in the fourth quarter when Miami found themselves trying to beat back the Boston momentum that was swinging in the Celtics' favor. And Ellington was able to continue to help Miami extend that lead in combination with Olynyk and Richardson's key baskets. But he was struggling for most of the game. But interestingly enough, Spoelstra made the decision to leave Ellington in there. And this was something that we had talked about in the Hawks loss when Ellington struggled, wasn't making his shots, and wasn't particularly adept as a defender. It was a curious move of Spoelstra's to leave him in there. Mm-hmm. On a night like tonight, it worked in Spoelstra's favor, and it worked in Ellington's favor as well. And maybe that confidence boost to be in there in clutch minutes kind of helped. But, you know, Ellington played a key role defensively as well. He was on Kyrie Irving for a number of possessions, which is interesting. He got burnt on a couple of occasions, but, you know, Kyrie Irving is a hell of a ball handler, and there aren't many defenders in the league that can stay in front of a guy like Kyrie when he has his handles going. But it was just interesting to see Ellington playing those key moments there and defensively to be able to chip in offensively, get going later on. You know, I think Tony Fiorentino made the point that shooters need to kind of have that confidence and that short memory of just forgetting when they make, you know, when they miss shots and continue to shoot their way out of a slump. It worked out for Ellington. I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of carries over into the next couple of games for Wayne. Beef, as we call him here on our show. He also finished with 6 rebounds. He looked like he was just crashing the glass a lot, to pull down 6 boards for a guy his size when, you know, so much rebounding was coming out of our bigs or Josh Richardson. It was nice to see Ellington engage like that. Also had one assist.
The guards did a nice job crashing the boards there. Tyler Johnson had 11 rebounds.
Career high.
11 rebounds. I mean, they did a great job crashing the boards. Another reason that the Heat don't really need Whiteside. Did I say that out loud? Ellington, 0-5 in the first 3 quarters, and then he hit 2 straight 3s in the fourth quarter. Missed his last one. But those 2 straight 3s in the fourth quarter really helped expand Miami's lead there as Boston was trying to climb back in it. And ultimately, every basket matters, so having Ellington hit those 2 threes was huge. My spotlight player of the game was Josh Richardson. 38 minutes, a team high in the game. Olynyk probably would have played more if he hadn't gotten hurt, but 38 minutes, 6 of 15 from the field for 19 points, 6 assists, a career high, I believe, definitely a season high. 4 rebounds in the game. He had a steal, only turned the ball over once. He's, again, between him and Waiters kind of sharing the number one ball handling duties there. Richardson kind of starting the game, Waiters kind of stealing more possessions as the game goes on. Richardson also finished the game handling the ball. Richardson took the last shot for the Heat after Waiters kind of chucked up maybe an ill-advised three-pointer. Richardson came in, didn't have his best shot, but the ball was in Richardson's hands for the last possession of the game. That just shows everything you need to know for how Spoelstra trusts Josh Richardson, because I don't think that is the case earlier in the season. That is a development worth noting, you know, that Richardson had the ball in his hands for that last shot and was also guarding Kyrie Irving one-on-one for the last few possessions. Now, he wasn't always effective, but Spoelstra was like, this is how we're either going to win or we're going to lose this way. And it's going to be with Josh Richardson playing Kyrie one-on-one because we don't want to double Kyrie and give up an open shot to the perimeter. Now, on that last possession, Tyler Johnson did a nice job of hedging against Irving, and Bam Adebayo did a nice job of cutting off the driving lane. But overall, it was Josh Richardson one-on-one with Kyrie Irving. Just on both ends of the court, was asked to do the most important thing, and he delivered. He was just awesome tonight.
Yeah, I mean, with the... addition of Ellington and Olynyk in the fourth quarter. I remember a key basket from Richardson when he drove to the rim, put up that shot with his right hand while getting fouled by Daniel Theis on the left. It got Stevens incensed off the bench, and Richardson was able to knock down the free throw. Finished 5 of 6 on a night when Miami struggled from the line. That wasn't the case for Richardson, obviously, you know, going 5 of 6 from the line. Just impressive showing for him. Continues to feel and display that kind of confidence. So much of Richardson's game seems built around the confidence in his shot. We've seen that more and more lately. You know, 6 of 15 isn't a great shooting night, but it's a pretty good one for a guy still trying to get into a rhythm, and he's just been in a real great comfort zone over the last few games.
Spoelstra's mentioned, I think it was after the Hawks game, and he mentioned that having Richardson in there as a ball handler stabilizes things, and he appreciates Richardson's ability to get them into their offense and stuff. And I think, you know, just kind of continuing on that theme of developments despite all these injuries facing, you know, Miami's key starters here, Richardson has made progress as a ball handler here, and as a lead ball handler, he's been adequate, right? He has not been fantastic, and I don't want to overblow this situation, but he's been adequate, and that's a big improvement from where he was even last year, which was sporadic at best. And that now, you know, that is lending itself to more possibilities for Miami's lineups, because a lot of time Spoelstra will stagger Dragic and Waiters, and he might not have to do that anymore. He might be able to let Richardson really run the second unit now, and that kind of that might introduce some more lineups and get more guys some playing time.
The interesting tweet that just came in here from a friend of the program, Anthony Chang. We're talking about the zone defense, and it turns out that Miami was able to work on some zone defense and shoot around this morning. And Anthony includes a quote from Jay Rich himself saying, "This morning literally was like, all right, we might run a little 2-3. You're here, you're here, you're there, you're there." So we were just kind of winging it a lot of the time. That's great. I mean, so it turns out that just added this wrinkle earlier today, whipped it out at a key moment in the third game, in the third quarter rather. And you know, despite the fact that they maybe didn't have enough time to really work on the finesse, the fine aspects of it, they were able to use it really, really effectively. And that just speaks to Miami's talent level sometimes. That's a very good stuff.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow winging it with a new segment. We're going to be power ranking the Heat's players. But thank you to mybookie.ag, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA and you get a bonus on top of your first deposit. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and subscribing. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedoneat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions on comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Thanks, Jeff and David, for tweeting those today. Music courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Got it, Wes.